Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus says Satan's real. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said and promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. You might say, well, Pastor, then why do some churches cease to exist? Because, listen, Satan wins some battles, but he will not and has not, cannot win the war.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 2. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. You see, God has made a way of escape and is ready to forgive with abundant grace and mercy all those who choose to come to Him. You see, those who put their trust in Christ will not experience the terrible judgment that will come upon this earth. Satan's agenda is, of course, to destroy us, and those who want to get rid of the church are aligned with Satan's agenda. The gates of hell may come against the church to divide or hinder its growth, and Satan may win that battle, but he will not win the war. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the doctrine of Satan is real as Satan himself. His desire is to promote the cults who make no promises to cling to, have no loving arms to run to, and no compassion to give you from a loving Savior. And now in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And that is When Hell Meets Earth, we are studying about the cataclysmic events that are coming upon planet Earth according to God. And I want to stress that because it's according to God. Everything that the Bible has said has come to pass. No matter if you want to embrace it, understand it or not, that is a fact. That's why we're all here this morning, right? That what the Bible says has come to pass. And so we know that God's word is sure. We know that God's word is firm. And that God will do all that He has said. And so with that, we have great boldness and strength regarding His promises. I say that because of what God has promised us. The scripture is very clear that we who have put our trust in Jesus Christ will not see the events that we're reading and studying about in the book of Revelation chapter 9. We will be gone from the earth by the time these things come to pass. You might say, well, is it because of old age that we'll just die on and go to heaven? Could be, but it also could mean that the rapture of the church takes place, whereby Christ delivers His church from the wrath that is to come upon the earth as promised in Scripture. Revelation chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. John says, "Then I saw the fifth angel sounding, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." Verse 3, "Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree. But only those men," and that's men and women, by the way, mankind, "who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for a space of 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not be able to find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like that of horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were something like the faces of a man. They had hair like that of a woman, and their teeth were like lion's teeth." A lot of symbolic talk here. "And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running to battle." Verse 10, "They had tails like scorpions, and there were stingers," or stings, "in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. People, we're talking here in this serious portion of Scripture. The doctrine of Satan, which we got into last time. The doctrine of Satan is found in Old and New Testament alike. You might want to take note by background that in seven of the Old Testament books, the doctrine of Satan is introduced in the Old Testament. And in each of the New Testament books, the doctrine of Satan is addressed. In all of the New Testament books, the doctrine of Satan is addressed. We are taught on it. Jesus himself teaches that the devil, Satan, is a real personality. We will see this morning, as we started off last time, that he is the angel that has the key to the bottomless pit, and that he has and goes by several names. Jesus makes mention of Satan personally. It is Jesus himself who says that he's real, and Jesus says so in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is Jesus that says that Satan's agenda is to destroy you and I. By the way, it is Satan's agenda. I don't mean that he'll be successful, but it is Satan's agenda that he seek to destroy the church. Did you know that? That Satan's plan is to destroy the witness and the presence of the church in the earth. That is an ever-increasing agenda of Satan. Luke 22:31 says, "And Jesus said to Simon," or that is Peter, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you." So Jesus speaks about Satan as being a real person. Now look, Jesus speaks to Peter and says, "Simon Peter, Satan has asked of me for you." Isn't that weird? Can you imagine Satan knocking on Jesus' door and saying, "Hey, can I have Bobby? Can I just destroy him? What's your name? Is it Sue?" Can you imagine Satan knocking on Jesus' door and saying, "Hey, if you don't mind, I'd like to just shred Sue"? Well, Jesus says that Satan was asking for Peter, and the scripture says that he asked that he might sift Peter as wheat. But Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22:32, "But I have prayed for you, Peter, so that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned, strengthen your brethren." I don't know about you, but if Satan knocks on Jesus' door and says, "Jesus, can I have Jack to sift him as wheat?" I want to ask Jesus, "Well, you told him no, right?" I mean, you said no way. Jesus didn't say no way. Isn't it wild to think? Hey, when a demon knocks on Jesus' door or when Satan knocks, I don't think Satan has really much to do with you and I. I think he's after people like Billy Graham and presidents of nations and kings of kingdoms. You know, he's not omnipresent. He's limited, you know. He's one. But he's got a lot of goobers who work for him called demons. But can you imagine a demon knocking on Jesus' door and saying, "Jesus, can I just get a hold of Jack and just shred his life? I'm hoping, please, Lord, say no." Jesus says Satan's real. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said and promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. You might say, "Well, Pastor, then why do some churches cease to exist?" Because, listen, Satan wins some battles, but he will not win the war. Satan gets into a church and begins to divide a church. When Satan gets a church arguing and bickering one with another to the point of destruction, listen, he wins that battle, but he will not and has not, cannot win the war. That's an important thing. Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." That's true. But when a work of God, hey, listen, if we let down our guard here at this church could fail. This church could cave in to the attacks of Satan if we do not stay true, if we are not on our knees praying, if we are not walking in obedience to God. Because what the church has often done in history is that it begins to bicker with each other and dismantle itself, and then there goes the local witness. But the good news is the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Christ in the earth. Know this, that those who seek to hinder or to destroy the church of Jesus Christ stand, if they are in agreement or not, willingly with the works of Satan. And that's a scary thing. You as a Christian this morning, you would say, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian." Well, that's great, but are you in any way seeking to hinder the work of Christ in the earth? Be careful. You could work and play right into the hands of Satan? Are you for the kingdom and for building? For example, as subtle as this. Well, you know what? I know that this is a missionary-minded church and a mission-minded church, but I'm not really interested in that. Why don't we just reach our local community? Have you looked into this church to see how we are reaching our local community? We're doing that. But not only that, we're reaching the world. That's important. Well, yeah, I'm not interested in that. Be careful. You're playing right into the work of the enemy in neutralizing your commitment to the Great Commission. Jesus Christ himself said to take this gospel and preach it around the world. And we have to be committed both our local witness and a global witness. That's important. Satan and his agenda is to promote, to bless, I can put it that way, the cults of the world. Cults. I am not kidding. God is my judge. I'm going to tell you right now, while I was typing that sentence, let me read it to you. Satan and his agenda, as well as those of man-made cults, of which Islam is the greatest of all the cults in the earth, have no promises to cling to, no loving arms to run to, no compassion to receive. I just read that verbatim. Say, why did you read that verbatim like that? While I was literally typing that out, there's a knock at my door on Friday morning. I opened the door. Yes. Hi, we want to talk to you. And guess who it was? It was a cult. We want to talk to you. We want to sell you our magazine. I said, wait. I was literally studying the Bible. This is what I was reading. That there are man-made cults of which Islam, I know you're not a Muslim, but of Islam is the largest, which have no promise to cling to. You're a cult. I'm studying the Bible. Oh, we're not a cult. Yeah. You are a cult because you know what? You say Jesus is not God, don't you? We don't believe he's God. Yeah, I know. That's what makes you a cult. You believe that he's Michael the Archangel, don't you? I know you do. That's what you believe in. I don't have the time to get into it because I'm studying the Bible and its truth rather than your books. The truth of the matter is you do not believe that Jesus is God come to earth in human flesh. You say he's Michael. Look, Michael is Michael. Jesus is Jesus. That's the truth. That's what the Bible has to say. They're not the same thing. They came to my door so excited, and then after they knocked at my door, they went, and I said, and I'm going to give you the verses. Did you get the handout? Is it in your bulletin? Open it up. Did you get it? Hang on, that's coming. I put that together because as we were going through this, this is so important. And in a moment, I'm going to give you Proverbs 30, verse 4. I told them, go read right now Proverbs 30, verse 4, and tell me if God does not have a son named Jesus Christ who came to earth. And so they came so excited, they left so depressed. I opened the door depressed because I heard a knock at my door for interruption. I didn't like it, and I left so excited. Why? The truth will set you free. Listen, the cults, as I mentioned, Islam, by the way, I know this is not popular. I don't care. Prior to the late 600s AD, there was no Islam. Did you know that? What? Let's wake up. Pastor, you're going to get shot saying that. Shoot me. Just be a good shot. Don't maim me. Shoot me. Good. But listen, send me straight to glory. But I'm telling you right now, Islam's a cult. There was no Islam. There was no Muhammad. There was no Islamic faith prior to the late 600s AD. Are you with me? Do you understand that? It is the most global, influential cult on the earth. Jehovah's Witness, it's a cult. Mormonism is a cult. Anything that degrades and puts down the deity of Christ is a cult. Isaiah 43, verse 11. Pull out your piece of paper, if you would. Use this. Keep it. These people of a cult, Satan has bred these things into existence. They have no caring arms to run to, no all-knowing God. They have no merciful God to pray to. They have no gracious God to know. They have not a patient God. They know anything about the kindness of God or the gentleness of God. They have nothing to understand about a loving God. They don't know anything about it. God says in Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. That means there is no cult that can save a man. Did you know that? Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Psalm 68 verse 4. Look at the top of your page. By the way, this is my notes you have. There's some boo-boos on my notes. Psalm 68 verse 4. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. You ought to circle that name, Yah. That is the preface. That is the declaration that God is salvation. That's his name. Our God tells us his name. He says, my name is Yah. My name is salvation. People, that's good news. You want to know why? Because Adam God of the Mormon Church is not salvation. The God of the Jehovah's Witnesses is not salvation. The God of Islam, they don't even know his name. They'll tell you, we don't know his name. You say, well, his name's Allah. No, it's not. That's a title. Allah is Arabic for God. They don't know his name. They'll tell you, we can't know him and we can't know his name. All of a sudden, I'm confronted with a contradiction. God says, I'm going to tell you my name. My name is salvation. That's awesome. You need to determine where your faith lies. Isaiah 45:21, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have I not the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Now, I already read that one verse, 68 verse 4 of Psalms, so skip down to Proverbs 30 verse 4 right beneath it. Proverbs 30 verse 4, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? And who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Do you know, anybody, what his son's name is? This was written thousands of years before Jesus was ever born. You want to know his name? Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God dwells among us. That's great news. Luke 1:30 says, then the angel said to her, to Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what's his name? Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. That is God's Son. That's awesome. Philippians 2:10, and at that name of Jesus, how many knees? Every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those of earth and those under the earth. That's the demonic spirit realm, by the way. And that every tongue should confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what? Truth has a tendency to galvanize us. You know what I'm talking about? It has a power to cover us. And I love this. You know what? Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but these verses that you have in your lap right now, they will never pass away. They will be forever. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship, the word is politics, by the way, in Greek. Politic? For our politic is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. I thought God was the only Savior. He is. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's clear. John 3:16, for those of you who don't know or have not watched an NFL game, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the definition of the Savior. John 4:42. And so the Samaritans said to the woman, that's at Jacob's well, now we believe, not because of what you say, for we ourselves have heard him, that's Jesus, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Do you know that? In 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. 2 Peter 1:11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, who? Jesus Christ. It's awesome. Wonderful. It's no wonder then in Romans 10:13 that says, therefore, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Philippians again 2:10, but listen to this as I stress here. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I tell you, thank you for coming. God bless and have a wonderful day. I mean, that's it. There's nothing left. That's all there is. Do you know him as Lord and Savior? If you know him as Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about the things of Revelation chapter 9. So let's jump in. We studied verses 1 and 2 last time. Let's go to our second point, commencing in verse 3. When hell meets earth, second point is this, creature entities, demonic entities will come forth upon the earth during the great tribulation period that is yet to come. Then the Bible says here, verse 3, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. What do we write down regarding this? Well, when hell meets earth, we know this, that these creature entities, these demonic powers under the command of Apollyon or Satan, the devil, who is the angel of the bottomless pit, opens up this door that he's been granted authority to, by the way, by God, to open up the pit. The pit is open, and all of this horrible cloud and massive smoke ascends, and it is of demonic powers. And verse 3 tells us that these demonic entities that are actual things, they are living spiritual beings. Doesn't that kind of freak you out? If you get nervous, just hum or whistle a little tune. If you get spooked a little bit, but listen to this. Satan's real and demons are real. There are fallen angels and there are demons. Don't confuse the two. They're different. Fallen angels appear and disappear. They have no need to take on a human body or an animal or an idol or a statue. Demons have to have a statue. They have to have an idol. They have to have an animal or they have to have a human to manifest their will. Fallen angels nor heavenly angels need any of that. Angels appear and disappear at will, be them fallen angels. How many of them, how many fallen angels do we know of in Scripture? We don't exactly know, but it's 1/3 of God's created angels fell when Satan tricked them into following him. 1/3. We don't know the number, but it must be a lot. Fallen angels.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. When Hell Meets Earth, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, a lot of Americans are on the internet talking about how this world should be moving towards a socialistic society. They think it promises a utopia, but do they really know what they're asking for? Well, if you think about it, really it's repeating a total nightmare. History's proven over and over again that socialism is not the idyllic answer, nor does it make for happy people. Pastor Jack's book of the month for March is called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. It's by William J. Federer. Now that's an impressive title for an equally impressive and eye-opening book. Is socialism the dream of an ideal society? Is communism the same as socialism? Are the crises we face right now an attempt for governmental control? And the most important question, how does God fit into all of this and what does the Bible say about it? Find the answers to these questions and more, and when you do, share this book with anyone and everyone you know. Again, the book of the month for March is called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.